You are listening to Justice Radio on WMPG, WERU, and WMHB with your host, A. Cuba Jackson. I serve as strategic partnership lead for the Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition and guest host here on Justice Radio. Today's episode is part of our special edition series. I'm thrilled to welcome someone who is changing the narrative of what's possible for Black folks in Maine. Lisa Parham Jones is a visionary founder of Black Travel Maine, a cultural tourism company using storytelling, travel, and heritage to reshape the way we show up in the state. We'll talk about travel, justice, joy, and why our stories matter. Lisa, thank you for joining us on Justice Radio. I know your schedule's been packed. How are you feeling?
I am feeling great, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to have this conversation. Yes, we've been extremely busy, and I can't wait to share everything that's been going on.
Well, let's start with Black Travel Maine. What inspired you to create it, and what's the story behind your mission?
Basically, I was invited to Maine during COVID-19. All travel shut down. A friend of mine had just moved up here to take a job at Colby College. And she said, hey, come up and visit. And I'm like, Maine? Why would I want to go to Maine? All I knew about Maine was lobster. But at that point, I had just recently had moved in from Long Island, New York, into New York City. And that was a dramatic change for me. And then COVID happened. So the idea of going to Maine sounded good because there really wasn't many other options at that time. So I decided, hey, let me give it a chance. Went there. And never left. Just fell in love with Maine right from the beginning.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. You know, hearing you come up on an invite and falling in love with the place is similar to so many people's stories, and really brings a lot of joy. I want to just ask you, you've been really intentional about showcasing, you know, Black joy, creativity, and community in a state that's often seen as too white, or as your mission had said online, too cold. How has your work challenged that narrative?
Well, the interesting thing, Cuba, is even a journalist reached out to me early on when I started this work, and she said, why would you want to introduce Maine to Black people? It's not a state that you all do those types of activities that Maine is known for as vacation land. You don't hike, you don't ski, you don't do those things. And I was very insulted, first of all, by the interview, because I know many Black people who hike and ski and do outdoor recreation. So to have someone say to me, this is something we don't do, it was sort of like, I needed to change that narrative. And I'm one of these people who, you tell me no to something, I'm going to show you why, yes. So I needed to show people that Maine is, and that number one, Black people do outdoor recreation, and also that Maine is welcoming to everyone. Because she also said to me, what happens when you take your clients into areas where you're not welcomed? And I was like, not welcome? I've been all over Maine. At that point, my daughter and I would get in car and drive to all these little towns, and I felt nothing but welcomed. And after living in Long Island, New York for 16 years, I know what it feels like to not feel welcome. And I think that's what really did it for me with Maine, really was the people. You know, there's lots of beautiful destinations. I've traveled all over the world. I've been very fortunate to have a very big career in travel that took me all over the world to many destinations. So I think what happened is an immediate light bulb went off when I experienced Maine. I'm like, this is a beautiful state. The people are wonderful. Why when I look around, do I not see any people of color? I just thought that was strange. And especially in this day and age. And so that's what really made me start digging in a little deeper. And at that point, I started posting photos and videos of myself and my daughter in Maine. And then many of the Black on my social media platforms, my personal pages, and many of people started chiming in. You're in Maine and you're safe? Many Black people. And I thought to myself, why do they think Maine is not safe? And where did that narrative come from? And I really, the beginning of this really was just about changing the narrative on both sides. I knew there was a false narrative with white people that we don't do these activities and we're not outdoor recreation type people, which is not true. And, you know, you can look at our history going back. And then, you know, I saw the other side where, you know, white people thought, had their views of it as well. And so I really went after trying to change the narrative. And to be quite honest with you, Kuba, I realized this work now is legacy work. This work is leaving a footprint on a destination that's changing a destination for the good. And I'm really excited about our work.
Wow, me too. And you mentioned we had been in communication over the last few weeks, it feels like. And you mentioned in your note to me something really powerful, how your work is directly influencing folks to relocate to Maine, families, artists, you know, entrepreneurs. Can you talk about that ripple effect and what it says about representation and belonging in this state?
So, you know, people keep talking about Maine not having a much diversity in the state. Well, this work directly leads to more relocations of people of color. And I can already show you the statistics. Number one, people don't relocate until they visit a place. So they first have to come here as a tourist before they can decide whether or not they want to live here. And I can't tell you the number of messages we're receiving now, especially in the Facebook group, with people just inquiring about relocation. And I've also had people direct message me that I've helped. There's a doctor up in Presque Isle who's a dentist who contacted me while she was in college at USC. She was finishing her dental residency, and she was looking at a job, and she saw a listing for Maine, and she wanted to know what it was like for a person of color to live in Maine. So she reached out to me, and I connected her with some people up in Presque Isle that could help her make that decision. Well, she made the decision. She now lives here, and she also travels up to 4 hours at times to attend my events for community. So there's that one. There's another young lady right now who's interviewing for a position at Deering High School as the assistant principal. She came on our Bangor tour this summer by herself from Boston, had never been to Maine, came up and saw what amazing history and community we're building here and said, hey, look, I'm interested in applying for some jobs. And I said, you know, we need more professionals of color in education here. So we would love for you to apply. So just to see that, you know, I have someone who reached out who's a psychologist looking for licensing right now. I have someone who runs a camp that's looking to start just to build another franchise here for her camp in Connecticut. Just so many opportunities are coming out of this work. And people are realizing that Maine is actually an option for Black Americans. Mm. And I want to be clear on that. I really want to be clear on that because, you know, I feel that in Maine, immediately when they see people, I'm going to give you an experience. I walked into City Hall once when I first came here and I didn't understand. No one spoke to me. I was like, all these people in the chambers, and I just came in and sat down. But after I got up and read my statement, everybody came over to me and started giving me their cards and saying hello. I thought that was really weird. That always stood out with me, and I wanted to know why. I realized now that in that room, they immediately thought I was an immigrant. Once they realized I was a Black American, it changed. What I want to say to that point is that immigration is needed. And it's done a lot of great things for the state.
Yes.
But we also need a migration of Black professionals as well to kind of balance that out. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great?
Of course. And I love that. And while you bring people here, you're also pushing for justice reform because we know that visibility without safety isn't liberation, right? And why is... I guess my question to you would be, why is justice reform such an important part of the work that you do?
OMG, because Black and brown kids are targeted and the laws are held accountable when their counterparts are just slapped on the wrist and saying they made a mistake. I seen it with my own family. I seen it with my brothers. They were young victims in juvenile that ended up, you know, it's a school to, you know, a lot of our neighborhoods are producing school to prison pipelines. And I seen it growing up. Luckily, I was in private school, so I was shielded from a lot of that. But I have to tell you, if we don't adjust, I can't, in my conscience, have people moving to Maine knowing that these laws and the statistics on race and how Black people are being held to penalties much greater than We represent a smaller portion, and you can give me the statistics of people who live here, but how are we the most incarcerated? That is crazy to me in a state like that. That has to be addressed. I can, in my heart, advocate for families to move here and know that their children can get caught up in a system that is not going to be good for them just because they make one mistake. You know, I'm here to say that we have to, part of my work has to be justice reform. When I started hearing, you know, there's no parole in Maine, the no cash bail. I mean, all of those things disproportionately affect the black and brown communities. You know, my daughter's 17 right now, and I'm always preaching to her, you cannot make a mistake. Your friends can make mistakes. They can go out here and do all these crazy things, and they're just going to get a slap on the wrist. But you're going to be held to much stronger. And, you know, as a parent, that's really, 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 really difficult. And so I have to speak up on justice reform here in Maine and how important it is. And I have to stand behind it, especially if I'm advocating for people to move here and relocate. They need to know, and we need to know before they move here. I don't want to set anybody up for failure, and I'm certainly not setting my people up for failure. So that is something that's really near and dear to me, because I see how the system in this country works and all these private prisons they're building, and I'm very familiar with the school-to-prison pipeline. I think about once I got to experience in New York the documentary of Nas and his life growing up in New York City, and how he described his school as being worse. Going to school was a battleground that he didn't want to take every day. And so just to know that, you know, that the education is not fair, and that a lot of these kids are ending up in prison because of the neighborhood they were born in. And I don't want that happening here in Maine. And so I'm always here to try to advocate for what's right. And I think justice reform here needs a lot of work. And any way that I can help, I'm for it.
Well, I'm really appreciative of your work around that, and really the intensity with which I hear you speaking and see you moving in that space is incredible to me. And I know you do so many tours and events, and all of them riveting. Can you share a moment on, say, a tour or with a client where you saw the emotional or economic impact of your work land in real time?
Well, just to know when we're doing our Black History tours and people are coming in from out of state that have no idea of the amount of Black history that's here, and that the Underground Railroad came through Maine and they found houses with tunnels in them. And, you know, Maine has so much documented history. And I think that is the part that most people find moving. They're just moved by, wow, and the fact that Maine was one of the last stops to freedom on the way to Canada. Like, Maine plays a big role in that. And then, you know, you think about in Biddeford where the mills are, you know, those old mills were the ones that processed the cotton. So you had the plantation owners in the South shipping the cotton up to the North. So all of that history people find moving. And then when they get to meet real legends like Joan White, I don't know if you saw that tour I did at the Algonquin American Museum of Art, where they got to see the Joan White collection, which are these portraits that were done. Joan was one of the first black models at the Algonquin Painting and Sculpting School in Algonquin. And her paintings, starting at age, I think, 5 up to age 19, there's a full collection there. So to have Joan present and have her be able to show her collection, and for people to meet 89-year-old Spunky Joan, you know, that's a unique experience that people leave saying, wow. Not only did we get to see these paintings, but we also got to meet the legend behind these paintings. So there's that. And then the economic impact that we're bringing to the state, just watching the tourism numbers come up. And I don't know if you've noticed, but there's more black and brown people traveling throughout Maine now. The ads are speaking to us more. And it's just a beautiful thing, because it's bringing in, tourism was down 27%. And to know that we can help change those numbers, and you know, there's a lot of us with a lot of extra income, you know, out here to spend. You know, we spend $1 trillion annually, and then, you know, it's already been noted that we take 7 to 8 domestic trips. And why can't one of those domestic trips be to Maine? But what I keep trying to tell people is there's plenty of beautiful destinations for people to travel to. But when you combine the beautiful destination with the culture and the people, that is what gets people to come here. Not that it's a beautiful state. They want to know the story. So that's where the storytelling comes in. Mm. And that's what attracts people to the destination. Not just that it's pretty, it's that it has all this culture and all these other really interesting stories as well.
You're listening to Justice Radio on WMPG, WERU, and WMHB. I'm your host, A. Kuba Jackson, speaking with Lisa Parham-Jones of Black Travel Maine about travel, culture, and justice for Black folks in Maine. You, of course, are a master storyteller and really a master at the craft of what you do, attracting folks and making this narrative something folks can move forward with. And so whether it's through, you know, the lens of heritage, heritage travel or platforming others I've seen, why is storytelling such a vital tool in the fight for justice and cultural preservation here in Maine?
Well, storytelling, the interesting thing is a lot of people who grew up in Maine don't know these stories. That I find, you know how many Mainers are showing up on my tours and messaging me and telling me, thank you for sharing this information. I grew up here. I've been here my whole life and I never knew that. Wow, that's mind boggling to me. So that just shows me how important this work is. And it's making a lot of people from Maine even more proud. I mean, this is a proud state as it is, but then knowing all the stories and how, you know, how much great things were done during that time in the storytelling also, I just think it's important. I was just at Tate Museum and, you know, that's a colonial home, but I'm so excited about being able to tell Bette's story. So everybody goes to that has been there knows it as the story behind the rich people who live there. But what about Bette the slave? There was a documented slave that is in court records. That's the only way they can prove there was a slave there is in court records. She testified for them. And so I'm excited about this new tour that I'm going to be doing, which is going to tell Bette's story because no one's told Bette's story. In order for history not to be repeated, people need to understand what actually took place. Mm. And it's not about shaming anybody it's just people want to connect to stories in history. And that is very important. And you know, for our children and for our grandchildren, they need to know these stories. And they also, the positive in it and the worst to it. I just think storytelling is so important. And it just keeps, I actually think it brings people together. What I've been feeling with my tours is these storytelling and telling the other side to the story is actually bringing everyone together. And that's what I'm starting to notice. And that's another thing I want to get across. This is not exclusively, it might be called Black Travel Maine, but it is not exclusively for Black people. Our tours are for everyone. And the only reason I had to go with the name Black in the beginning had to be due with the fact that there was no marketing around the Black American cultural story here in Maine. And I needed a loud, something that people could really quickly connect to. And so that's why it was called Black Travel Maine. But Black Travel Maine is for everybody. You've been to my events. You've seen that. And I want to make sure that point is clear. It is for everyone. It's for everybody. Culturally, as well as everybody socioeconomically. This is for every, and in fact, most of my events, community events, are free in Maine because I want to bring people together. And I also like to bring the community together with the tourists because it creates more of an experience for both. You know, I've seen, you know, people make friends from a lifetime just by attending one of our events. So, that is very, very important to me, that we understand that these tours are for everyone, and it's not exclusively for Black and Brown. It is for everyone. We get LGBTQ, we get Asian Americans, we get Latinos, we get all Africans, we get everybody on our trips. And that's what I love about it. It brings everybody together. And I want to make that point very clear. We love what we do, and we love to bring everybody together. And I think that's what makes the work so exciting, is that we are bringing everyone together.
No. Lisa, as a business owner in Maine, what unique challenges have you faced, whether that's as a woman, a Black entrepreneur, or as someone pushing against the grain, just going against, you know, beating your own drum?
Yeah, I've been blocked. I'd say there's a lot of gatekeeping in Maine, and so I find that to be the most challenging part of the work. Of course, access to capital. Let's speak about that. This business was started by money that I poured into this business, my own personal fund to get it off the ground. So, you know, I feel as though if I was a different color, I'd already be fully financed, and it would be, you know, to have a whole staff and an office. I don't have a whole staff. I do have contractors that work with me, and that most of them are being underpaid because they're so committed to the work. They're very big professionals across the country I have helping me with this project. And most of them are not getting paid, or they're getting paid very little than what they deserve to be paid, but because we don't have the budget. Then I had where, you know, I've been used to get access to funding. That goes on a lot in Maine. I didn't realize that was the norm here, where they use people to get, especially BIPOC, which they call BIPOC. I'm Black American, but BIPOC funding, I find that they use us to get access to it, but then the access stops at that point. And that happened to me. I actually have lobby experience. I did lobbying for PayPal in D.C. I worked as part of their government relations team. So whenever anyone looks me up, they see that I have lobby experience. And actually someone reached out to me and asked me to lobby on their behalf to get access to about $2 million in additional funding, and said they would work with me, and then has ghosted me, like through, gave me little free ads, a few little things here and there at the end once, but then has totally ghosted me since. It's very disheartening, because I've watched, it's not so much disheartening what the person did, but that everybody's aware that they did it and no one is taking action on it. And that's the part that I find the most disheartening, is that everyone knows. And then there's a picture of me, a full page ad of me with a QR code on it. I'm talking a full page ad of me on my tour group with a QR code that does not lead to my business, a QR code that leads to someone else's business. Tell me that makes sense. So you're using my photo, but you're not using it to link to Black Travel Maine. You're using it to represent. And so that's the other thing I want to speak on is, you know, there were people here that were telling the Black American story that don't look like us. And people were okay with that before I got here, which is funny to me. But now that I'm here as a Black person telling the Black story, that's capitalism. But yet there's been somebody here doing it. And when I went up to him and asked him, a gentleman who's not our color, who is not Black, my first question to him is, why are you doing the Black History Tours of Maine? You know what he told me? His answer was, my wife told me to.
Wow.
So your wife told you to? And not that I've studied Black American culture, I studied Black American history, not that I'm fascinated by the history and I wanted to learn about it. No, my wife told me it's a good business, so that's why I'm doing it. But everybody's okay with him doing these tours, right?
Wow.
But We have a lot of growing to do, and a lot of, I don't even know what to say. You know, this work is leading to so much positive for everybody in the state, including Black and Brown people. Just to have more Black and Brown people traveling here, potentially relocating here, is better for all of us and better for the community.
Absolutely.
So, and they're bringing resources. And so, you know, yes, I've been through a lot, but they don't know me. I'm a fighter. And I come from greatness.
Let me ask, Lisa, what sustains you? Where do you draw your strength and your vision from?
God Almighty. And that's the God's on it. That's God Almighty. That is the person who is leading this work. I pray and I ask for guidance every day. And I ask the Lord to order this work, because this work is bigger than me. This work is bigger, way bigger than I will ever be. And this work is going to leave lasting imprints on Maine long after I'm gone. And so for me, this is legacy work. So if anybody wants to question what it is for me, that's what it is for me. Making a difference for my daughter, my grandkids, your kids, your grandkids, making Maine a better state for all of us. It's such an amazing state as it is, but why can't it be for everybody? Well, and that's pretty much what I'm trying to show, is that why this state can't be. It was amazing to me how many celebrities have never been to Maine, how many Black American celebrities I've ran across who said, oh my God, I've never been to Maine, I want to come. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, we were left out of the Maine story. I'm not sure why or how that happened. But even from celebrities that I run into and I talk to them about Maine. But don't be fooled. Black and brown people have been traveling to Maine since the late 1700s, 1800s. They're used to professional, educated Black people here. And that goes way back. As you know, Langston Hughes, when you see my work, Langston Hughes used to perform, or his works were performed here. Marian Anderson, there's a lot of famous Black people. I don't know, many people don't know, in Wiscasset, I always forget his name, the gentleman who wrote the Black Negro Anthem, he died here in Wiscasset. There's a bench named after him. So Maine has so much, does have the history here, but also was losing out on a whole market of people who don't know about Maine, that have means, that can come here and spend money and enjoy themselves just like everyone else. And I think we're starting to see that little by little, that change in the dynamics. And I'm so glad to have been a part of it.
Well, let's go practical. What are some of the upcoming tours or projects you're excited about right now? And how can folks get involved and support your work?
So our community events are coming up. We have a community hike every October. And then in September, let's start with September. September, we're doing our Black History Walking Tour. We have one on September 12th. If anyone's interested, you know, reach out, lisa@blacktravelmaine.com.
Thank you for spending time with us on Justice Radio. Deep gratitude to our guest, Lisa Parham-Jones, for her vision, her voice, and the work she's doing to reshape how we see ourselves in this place we call home. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in, for caring, and for carrying these conversations into your lives. And as always, special thanks to Samuel James for the music that opens and closes every episode. Until next time, stay rooted, stay curious, and stay in the struggle.